I'll give you a second to get there. Hebrews chapter 13.
All right, Hebrews chapter 13. We have two more messages to complete the book of Hebrews. And it has been a journey. We've taken a lot of breaks and preached from the passage earlier in August about we have an altar. What a great truth that was. But now we're going to keep on plugging away here in chapter 13. And I'm going to look at the last verses of the book, verses 17 through 24, is where we're going to go to. But two of those verses we're not going to go in depth on because they're so rich and wonderful, they warrant their own message. We will look at the rest of what the Lord has for us in this passage of Scripture. Now, for those of you who haven't been with us as long, we have preached verse by verse through Hebrews on and off through the past 3 years. And have learned so much, such a rich and wonderful book of the Bible. The theme of this book is twofold. What we began to discover in this series is really the book is all about how Jesus is better. He's better than the Old Testament law, Old Testament religion, all religion, better than having to go to a priest. You know, you think about the Mormons, you think about the Catholics having to go to a priest to talk to God. Nope, Jesus has finished the work of our salvation. We're believer priests. We can come right to God with our petitions. We can come right to God and have fellowship with Him through the blood of Jesus Christ and His sacrifice for us. And Jesus is better. And because Jesus is better, we learned that in the first five chapters. Then it goes on through the last chapters, 6 through 13, to instruct us as believers then to go on to perfection. In other words, grow up, okay? You've got something better than what religion has to offer to you, and so take it and use it. Utilize it. Grow up in your faith. Stop being a child, spiritually speaking, and having to have a law and a system to instruct you on everything you're supposed to do, and step into the freedom that is found in the finished work of Jesus Christ. He that has begun a good work in you will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that's the truth that we discover in the book of Hebrews. And so the way that we grow to maturity spiritually is through understanding the finished work of Jesus Christ, how Jesus is better than any old and dead religion. And so to help believers come to full maturity in their faith, God, as we will see in our text tonight, has gifted the body of Christ with certain individuals whom we are going to call spiritual leaders to help them, nurture them, to be able to grow to spiritual maturity. We do have outlines here tonight. I don't know if everybody got one or not. Did anybody not get an outline? I think most, well, you did not. Do we have any left over, Miss Heather? Do you know? There are some. All right. If you didn't get an outline, these gentlemen are stepping up. If you just raise your hand, they will bring them to you. A lot of the scripture we're going to look at tonight, I put on this outline for you. And so that will help us be able to be timely here tonight. But these last several verses we're going to look at give us instructions for how to have a proper relationship or how to relate to the spiritual leaders that God has put into your life. Now listen to me on this. God has given, gifted is the word the Bible uses, the church, with spiritual leaders. I want you to see this in Ephesians chapter 4. I believe this is in your notes in verse 11. The Bible says, "And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." These spiritual leaders who are being spoken of here, they're pastors, they're evangelists, they're teachers. We could say small group leaders, okay? We could say disciplers. We could even to a certain extent say parents are spiritual leaders as well. There are a lot of roles these spiritual leaders that are being spoken of fulfill. And yet these spiritual leaders that the Bible speaks to us about here are people who are given to the body of Christ, given to the church specifically to help them grow up spiritually, to help them accomplish the work of the ministry, and to help them be built up as the body of Christ. That's what God gives spiritual leaders to the church for. And these spiritual leaders would include a whole lot of different people, as we've already mentioned, pastors, teachers, mentors, and really any other person that God has placed in your life to lead you spiritually. In your life, you could probably go back and look at pastors who have been spiritual leaders in your life. You could probably go back to some mentors who helped you spiritually, who helped you come along spiritually. Maybe they had no title. Maybe they were just someone who took an interest into your life, and they weren't a pastor, they weren't a teacher, they weren't a small group leader, they were just a mature Christian who gave you spiritual leadership, and God gifted you with them as a spiritual leader in your life. That's, in essence, who the Bible is speaking to us about here in the rest of these verses of Hebrews chapter 13. And so in the final words of this letter to the Hebrews, the Spirit guides the pen of the Apostle Paul to give some biblical instruction that would guide the relationship of the body of Christ with the spiritual leadership that God has placed into their lives. And you know what? There's some important things that you and I need to understand when it comes to the type of relationship we are supposed to have with the spiritual leaders that God puts in our lives. And so let's look at these verses and begin to understand what the Lord has for us here tonight. Hebrews chapter number 13, starting down in verse number 17. This is what the Bible says: "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather that you do this, that you pray for us." Why? "That I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Those two verses are ones we're going to come back to. Too rich to try to fit it all in one sermon. Wonderful, wonderful prayer there. Verse 22. "And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know you that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he comes shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen and amen." We're going to look at these verses tonight and begin to understand some biblical principles about that should help guide your relationship with the spiritual leaders that God has placed into your life. Let's bow our heads and ask God to speak to us as we begin tonight. Our Father, we come before you, and Lord, we certainly need your unction, your anointing, to be able to present anything of value here tonight. And Lord, if it's all in vain unless the Spirit of God shows up and shows out. And I pray that your Spirit would use me today to be able to communicate the truth, and even beyond my capacity, communicate the truth that you want to be heard to the people that are sitting here and listening to the sound of the truth of your word being expounded. And I pray you'd bring us to spiritual maturity through the things that we study together today, that you'd be glorified in it, Lord, and we would be strengthened as a body of believers. And these things we pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, it's interesting to me in these words, not only are there instructions given to guide the body of Christ and how they are to relate to spiritual leadership, but there are also indications in the text that teach us what is supposed to be the responsibility of the spiritual leader. Some of you are spiritual leaders. In fact, I would go so far as to say all of you, to some capacity, are spiritual leaders. Whether you hold a title or not, spiritually speaking, you're leading somebody. Now, that doesn't mean you're leading them in the right direction, okay? But you're leading somebody. But specifically, who this text is written to is people who hold a responsibility of spiritual leadership in the context of the church. And there are several areas of spiritual leadership several responsibilities of spiritual leadership we see indicated in this passage of Scripture. I'm not going to preach these. I'm just going to mention them briefly because that's not what the Lord's led me to do tonight. But the first of these responsibilities as a spiritual leader is to, specifically the pastor, is to lead the church, is to lead the flock, lead the church. Verse number 7, it says, "Remember them which have the rule over you." Now that's an interesting phrase, "who have the rule over you." It's a Greek phrase that literally speaks of someone who goes before. The idea is not ruling in the sense of, "you're going to do what I say." The idea is, "hey, follow me as I follow Christ," okay? It's someone who goes before. We read that in the King James and we think, "oh, have the rule over us." Whoa. We think of it as a king. That's not how the Bible is indicating it. It's someone who goes before. That's literally what spiritual leadership is supposed to be. Jesus taught us that true leadership is servant leadership. The greatest of you shall be the servant of all. That's what Jesus taught. That's true leadership, okay? God hasn't called us to be dictators. He's called us to be servant leaders. And so the first responsibility of the spiritual leader, the pastor, is to lead the church. The second is to feed the people of God, to feed the church, to feed the flock of God. Verse number 7, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God." You cannot spiritually lead if you are not speaking God's word into someone else's life. All right? You can throw the self-help stuff out the window or into the garbage because it doesn't do anything for anybody. The word of God is what transforms lives and helps people. And you are not leading spiritually unless you are feeding the word of God to the people of God. And it is the responsibility of a spiritual leader to communicate the word of God to the people of God under his care. So it's to lead the church. It's to feed the church. The third thing is to intercede for the church. Now, this isn't in your notes. This is just free for you right here, okay? It's to intercede for the church. Verse 17, it says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls." They watch for your souls. It is a responsibility of the spiritual leader to watch for the souls of those who are under his or her care. Watching for those souls, the Bible often speaks of watching and prayer, to being vigilant in prayer. The idea of watching is to be, it's a defensive type term. It's a term of being a guardian to somebody, keeping something safe. And a spiritual leader is to look to the needs of the people under his care and to pray for them and to intercede for them for their spiritual growth and their protection and their provision. So the responsibility of the spiritual leader is to lead the flock, to feed the flock, to intercede or pray for the people of God. Number 4, the responsibility of the spiritual leader is to have a faith worthy of being followed. To have a faith worthy of being followed. Verse number 7, the Bible says there at the end of the verse about these spiritual leaders, you're supposed to follow their faith considering the end of their conversation. And it is a responsibility of spiritual leaders to live a life that is exemplary. That doesn't mean perfect. I'm going to tell you something. When you get responsibility, it comes with expectations. And when you become a spiritual leader, there are certain things you can't do anymore and you shouldn't do as you're leading the people of God. Abstain from all appearance of evil, the Apostle Paul wrote in another place. It said, giving none offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. And God help us today with so many spiritual leaders that are compromising and getting involved in nonsense and drinking alcohol and getting involved in substances and exposing their people to excuses to continue on in their sin. Listen to me. That should not be. And by the way, we do have leadership qualifications here at our church. And boy, God stirred me up about this as I've studied this passage of Scripture. We ought to have those. There ought to be expectations for people in spiritual leadership. And somebody help me out tonight, or it's going to be a really lonely sermon tonight, okay? There ought to be some expectations. And listen, I'm not talking about in a legalistic sense. Well, I'm more spiritual than you because I keep all the rules and I dot all my I's and cross all my T's the way that I'm supposed to. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying a spiritual leader should be someone who's setting an example. And not so they can be a spiritual leader, but someone who is a spiritual leader should be living a life that is exemplary, and that's why they become a spiritual leader. You don't say, well, if I step up to that role, then I'm going to have to start keeping all those rules. No, that's not how it works. Now, I'll be honest, we've done that before and regretted it. But I'm going to tell you this. Somebody who wants to serve in leadership, you better start stepping up and living the kind of life that the Word of God tells you to live, because that's what's necessary to become a spiritual leader. And so the spiritual leader must live a life that is worthy of being followed. Now, that's convicting because none of us are perfect. But nonetheless, that's what the Bible is teaching us here, to consider their life, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Number five, the responsibility of the spiritual leader is to fend for the flock, or to defend the flock. Again, verse 17 says that they watch, they guard your soul. I love that word, and it has a lot of applications that we can draw from it. But I'm going to tell you, one of the responsibilities of a shepherd when it comes to sheep is to guard them from wolves. And I'll be honest with you, there have been times we'd have wolves try to creep into this building. And there have been times we've had to chase those wolves out. You don't understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying literal animal wolf, okay? I'm talking about a wolf in sheep's clothing. I'm talking about somebody who's coming in to proselyze, somebody that's coming in to cause issues, somebody's coming in to cause division, and that stuff has happened. And listen, some of the times when I've dealt with those kinds of things, not everybody's agreed with how I've dealt with them. And I haven't even agreed with myself sometimes with how I've dealt with those things. But I'll tell you that every time I've dealt with those things has been with a heart to protect the people of God. And you young people that are in here today, you ought to thank God for parents that'll chase off wolves, that'll chase off bad influences, who will try to draw you away from Christ. And Paul talks about in one of his epistles how he was jealous over the people that were, I think it was in the church of Galatia. He said, I birthed you in the gospel, and I'm fearful that these other people who are coming in are going to bewitch you and deceive you and lead you astray. And he called those people out. And so one of the responsibilities of a spiritual leader is to fight for the flock, to defend the flock. You have a spiritual leader who comes in your life and tells you, you need to stay away from that person. You need to stay away from that activity. There's a reason they're coming in. You know, thank God for a spiritual leader who cares enough about you to stand up for you and even stand up to you if necessary. Number six, a spiritual leader's responsibility is to follow up on the flock. Verse 17 says that they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy. And you know what? The truth is, a spiritual leader's responsibility is to look after the well-being of the people who are under their care. And they watch for your souls as those who must give an account. And, you know, it's not just a title that someone's supposed to hold. It's supposed to be a calling to care for the people who are under your spiritual leadership, whether it be in the context of a small group or a pastor with a church or a parent with their home. You're to follow up on, I was always taught, inspect what you expect. All right, you're teaching something, try to help the people who you're teaching and mentoring to be able to apply those things in their life and use those as mentorship opportunities. Number seven, responsibility of the spiritual leader is to fellowship with the saints, to fellowship with the church. Verse 24 says, salute, and it goes on to say, all the saints, salute all the saints. And so the spiritual leader is not just supposed to be someone who's distant, someone who just a preacher, okay, just gets up. The only time you see him or hear from him when they're preaching behind the pulpit. No, it's supposed to be somebody who's with the people, who's greeting the people, who's loving the people, involved with the people. And that's what the Bible indicates to us there. Now, this is a message. I'm preaching to myself currently right now. So if I'm getting very passionate, it's because I'm preaching to myself. And this isn't the message for tonight. This is not where the Lord led me to go with this. But I think it's important you understand that the Bible does give instruction to the spiritual leader in this same passage of Scripture. But what I want us to focus on with the remainder of the time we have here tonight is what this passage has to teach us about your responsibility and how you are supposed to relate to the spiritual leaders that God has placed into your life. Now, before we move on any further, let me just say a word to you about God's sovereignty over the matter of spiritual leadership. You need to understand a couple of preliminary truths, okay? And I'm going to look at several verses in your notes here. The first thing is this: God is the one who raises up spiritual leaders and puts them down. Psalm chapter 75, verses 6 and 7, promotion neither comes from the east nor the west nor from the south, but God is the judge. He puts down one and setteth up another. This is a but God passage we didn't get to this year. But God, he's the one that sets one up and puts one down. The spiritual leaders that have been put into your life, do you know who's put them there? God. All right? You need to understand God's sovereignty in this matter. Okay? Now, another thing here is that God, as being sovereign in this matter, God is sovereign in his placement of spiritual leadership in his church as well. This is not just for government. Well, a lot of time we use that verse for government. God raises up leaders and he puts leaders down in the sense of government, but it's true for the church too. Now look in your notes there at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18. But now hath God, well there it is again, but God, set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. Well, that's interesting. We are the body of Christ, aren't we? And God sets members in his body where he wants them to be. He's sovereign in this matter of leadership as well. And so to serve in a position of spiritual leadership then is a great privilege. It is something that God calls you, equips you, and gifts you to be able to do. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 1, it is a true saying, if a man desires the office of a bishop or a pastor or overseer, he desires a good work. It's a good thing to want to be in spiritual leadership. It's a privilege to serve in spiritual leadership, but don't miss this right here. To serve in a position of spiritual leadership also is a great responsibility. And it comes with great expectations. The Bible says in James chapter 3 and verse 1, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Brother Ken did a very good job talking about this in the context of the husband in the home a couple weeks ago. You're accountable for your wife, sir. You're accountable for your home. And the same thing is true of the spiritual leader for those people who are under his care. You shall receive the greater condemnation. You shall receive the greater scrutiny because of the position of leadership that you hold. And so our desire ought to be to work together as the body of Christ, honoring each other's God-ordained position in the body of Christ. Understand this. We say this about the husband and wife relationship in the home, and it's just as much true about the body of Christ. There's not one of us more important than another one of us in this room. And 1 Corinthians 12 talks about it very clearly. Some of us are the more comely parts, the parts that everybody sees, and the parts that everybody hears as a part of the body. Hey, Miss Susie, she did a great job singing today. I think about that. She gets up and sings that song. We all stand up and say, yeah, I'm proud to be American, all right? Thank God. That's awesome. And it was a great special she sang today. All right, some of you, if you got up to sing that, everybody'd leave, all right? And he wouldn't be so proud to be an American. He wouldn't be thanking God for America. If they heard you sing, maybe you're not the comely part, the one that stands up and sings in front of everybody else. But boy, maybe you're somebody. I saw somebody taking out the trash today. Well, there's nothing glamorous about that. But is that any less important than what Miss Susie did today? No, we're all part of the body. We all serve a function. And not one part more important than another part, but all of us should strive to fit in the body where God wants us to be, trust his sovereignty, and function together the way that God desires for us to. And so with these truths being firmly established in our understanding, I want us to consider together the biblical instructions that are listed for us in this text to guide us in understanding how we're supposed to relate to the spiritual leaders that God has put into our lives. So number one, if you're taking notes here tonight, is this: how are you supposed to relate to the spiritual leaders God has placed in your life? Number one, remember them. Remember them. Not rocket science. I'm just going to use what the Bible tells us here. as our points. Verse number 7, the Bible says, what's the first two words? Well, there you go. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. That word, remember, it literally means in the Greek there, it means to acknowledge them. That's what it's talking about. It means to acknowledge them. God instructs you, in other words, to acknowledge the spiritual leadership that He has placed in your life. All right? We understand God's sovereignty in this matter. We've already talked about it. If God's put a spiritual leader into your life, the first instruction you're given here is to acknowledge their leadership. Acknowledge the place that they should hold in your life. The phrase, have the rule over you, is an interesting phrase in the Greek. It is in the present passive tense, which means that they do not receive that function by their own devisings. They receive that function as a spiritual leader because God gave it to them. And God called them. It's a God thing, in other words. Now, you make no mistake about it. There are plenty of leaders, spiritual so-called, who have gotten into spiritual leadership by politicking, okay? And they're serving in spiritual leadership not the way that Christ ordained them to. And as long as there are sinful people in this world, we'll have issues like that. But the point of the matter is, if God has put a spiritual leader into your life, they were put there because it was God who put them there. And in every church, the Bible teaches that God raises up those whom He fits to care for it. And He has a particular function He wants them to fulfill. He prepares them for it and He places them in it. And by the way, spiritual leaders, the ones that God raises up to lead in His church, they receive their authority by the voluntary choice of the church. And they can exercise their authority only by the voluntary submission of the church. In other words, when I got voted in, I've still got the plaque in my office. I'm trying to find a place to hang it on my wall. I had all these yeses, all right? Brother Ken informed me after we got the vote, there were two noes as well, all right? I know who one of them were because you told me. And you're in this room, and you told me it was a joke. But I didn't believe you. I still don't believe you. But anyways, I don't know who the other one was. But Brother Ken used it for his fire that night, all right? And so I've got those. But the reason I'm pastoring today is because you voluntarily asked me to come pastor. And the only way that I can be a pastor of this church today is if you, as the people of this congregation, continue to voluntarily submit to pastoral authority. Now, I'll be honest, from day one, it's been a step of faith for me. And as much faith as it takes for you to understand what the Bible says about the importance of pastoral authority, it is very difficult sometimes for this 31-year-old dimwit, okay, to exercise pastoral leadership. And I've been frank about this throughout the years. People come into my office and they ask me about things, and I'm thinking, I don't have a clue about what to tell you. Let me pray about it and read my Bible. And that has been my standard answer. And as we've studied more and learned more, the Lord has showed us some things throughout the years. But the truth of the matter is, step number one, if you're going to follow the Bible's instructions for how you're supposed to relate to the spiritual leaders He's placed into your life, you need to let them be your spiritual leader. You need to acknowledge their spiritual leadership in your life. And this is true for you in your home context, for you wives with your husbands. You need to let them be your spiritual leader. You say, well, I'm a lot more strong spiritually than they are. Well, good for you. But the Bible still gives us instructions. And what I have found is if a wife allows their husband to spiritually lead, it encourages him to do it. Amen. And the same thing is true in a lot of other contexts as well. But the bottom line is, a spiritual leader cannot lead spiritually if those entrusted under his care do not allow him to do so. Now, there's something to be said about earning the right to be followed as well. I understand that. And I think to a certain degree, we learned that about David this morning. He behaved himself wisely, and the people wanted to follow him, okay? And I do think that there's an element to that. And yet, at the same time, you've got to allow your spiritual leader to lead. One person said, the Lord will always bless the church that allows spiritual leadership to lead. Now, the truth is, we're living in a day where people don't want to make themselves accountable to any type of leadership. We live in a day of rebels. People don't want to be under authority in any capacity. They don't want to join the church. They don't want to seek counsel. I'll be honest, there's been a lot of times when there have been people in our church who've made decisions, and I'm just sitting over there thinking, oh, I wish they'd come talk to me. It's not because I'm a fountain of knowledge and I think that I have got everything figured out, but I have learned some things, and if they had asked, I would have told them, that's not a good idea. That's probably not a good idea. And here's what the Bible says about that. All right? But we live in a day where people don't want leadership. It's pride, it's selfishness that drives that. And yet, that's the culture that we're living in today. But I'm going to tell you something. You need a spiritual leader in your life. I need a spiritual leader in my life. I've told you many times, I have a pastor, and I call him for counsel all the time. I need that spiritual accountability. I need someone to challenge me. You need someone who can encourage you to do what's right. You need someone who can keep you accountable when you're starting to do what's wrong. And furthermore, you need someone who can give you counsel from God's word when you're uncertain about what your next move should be. We all need to remember them who have the spiritual leadership in our life. Acknowledge them. Number one, remember them. Number two is this, submit to them. Submit to them. Verse number 17, if you're still with me, say amen.
Amen.
This is an uncomfortable message for me to preach in one sense, and yet it's fully authorized by the word of God, and so I don't hesitate, okay? Verse 17, the Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give it account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Believers are instructed here to allow spiritual leaders to lead them. Now it's not just acknowledging them, it's allowing them to fulfill the role that God has given them to fulfill as a spiritual leader. The word obey here is the Greek word pitho, and it literally means to be persuaded by or to be persuadable, okay? To listen to them, to trust them. That's what obey means. It doesn't mean, hey, you go do this. Okay, I'll go do it. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about you're allowing them to speak into your life. You'll listen to them, all right? And sometimes pastors are wrong, all right? I know, because I'm wrong all the time. But you're willing to listen to counsel. You're willing to be persuaded. And so long as the counsel is coming from God's word, you can have confidence in it. Then the word submit is hupeko, the Greek word hupeko, and it means to resist no longer or to give way to concede is another thing it could mean. And so what the Bible's telling us here is you're to obey and submit to spiritual leaders. And this is essentially saying God is asking you here to listen to and to follow your spiritual leader. That's what it's saying here. And, you know, what this is not saying is that you are to blindly follow. Right? Because the blind lead the blind, both of them are going to fall into the ditch. And unfortunately, as long as we have sinful people, we will have sinful leadership. And there have been just atrocities that have taken place with people who are in positions of spiritual leadership who led people astray. And we've all seen the travesty of people blindly following someone who's in spiritual leadership but is not leading spiritually. In fact, leading their church or leading their group to do things that are even unscriptural. And you have no obligation to follow someone who claims the title of spiritual leader in your life, but is not leading you biblically. In fact, you have a prerogative to stand against that kind of thing. And the Bible does outline in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 19 how you are to bring accusation against an elder or a spiritual leader. I'm going to tell you something. If I start preaching something that isn't right, or if I start doing something that isn't right, I hope the people of this church will stand up and say, Pastor, you need to get this right. This is not good. Listen, this church does not need me. No person is indispensable. And the moment you start worshiping a man, that's the moment you're going to stop glorifying God. You have a responsibility, not As much as the spiritual leader has a responsibility to keep the people accountable, the people have a responsibility to keep those who are in authority accountable that they are leading from the Word of God. And the more we understand that, that's not easy. It's not easy to take a stand. But it does sometimes become necessary. I think it is important that we understand that truth right there. And so let me go on to verse 17 and show you this. The Bible explains why you should submit then to the spiritual leaders that God has placed into your life. Verse 17 says, "It's for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." The spiritual leader is responsible to look after you spiritually. That's what the word watch means. They watch for your soul. Watch means to look after, to guard, to build a defense about, to look after you. That's the responsibility of the spiritual leader, to look after the people who are under their care. And the weight of their responsibility is seen in the words of the verse where it says that they must give an account. Boy, that hit me like a ton of bricks this week. They must give an account. They will have to give an answer to God for how they looked after your spiritual well-being. That's a whole lot to take in right there. I have a list of over 350 people that I pray for every week. And boy, that hit me like a ton of bricks trying to pray through that list this week. And just to think about, I don't even know if this person's saved. This person is definitely not right with God right now. I don't even know where this person's at. I haven't seen them in years. I pray through the list and I think, I'm going to have to give an account for this. Every person that God puts under the spiritual care of this church. And you with your small groups, you with your home, you with your realm of spiritual leadership, it's no less true for you. You understand the weight of responsibility that is on the shoulders of the spiritual leader. It helps you be a lot more willing to listen to them. Because they're responsible for your spiritual well-being. They watch for your souls as they that must give an account. Here's the interesting thing, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. See, if you regard their spiritual leadership, when the day of accounting comes at the judgment seat of Christ, they'll be able to give a joyful account of your spiritual development. Boy, let me tell you about how they grew. Let me tell you about what we saw you, God, do in their life. What a joy it'll be to talk about people who respond to spiritual leadership and grow in their faith. And yet, the Bible says that some they'll have to give an account of with grief. What that literally means, the word used there is a groan or a sigh. You want to talk about them? I don't want to talk about them. And that sigh may be because a spiritual leader wasn't leading like he should have, and it may be the people they were leading weren't responding and listening. Didn't listen, they went their own way. You know, the Bible leaves it pretty wide open right there. But see, the point is, when it comes to your relationship with spiritual leadership, you're to acknowledge their leadership in your life, and then you're to allow them to lead. You're to submit, obey, let them in, trust them, let yourself be persuaded in your spiritual decisions in life by their counsel. That's the idea that's being communicated here. And to not let the spiritual leaders God has placed in your life lead you will ultimately be most hurtful to you, not to them. The Bible says at the end of verse 17, for that is unprofitable for you. It's in your best interest to trust God with the spiritual leaders He's placed in your life and allow those spiritual leaders to lead in your life as well. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 11 talks about a man who didn't listen to spiritual leadership. It says, "And now mourn at the last when thy flesh and body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. I wish I would have listened." That's essentially what he's saying. You don't want to be there. All right? That's why God blesses us, and I'm thankful for the many spiritual leaders that God has crossed my path with that really have preserved me from getting into things that would have literally torn my life apart. And so, number one, remember them. Number two, submit to them. Number three, pray for them. And we're going to have to move quickly with these last ones here. Verse 18, the Bible says, pray for us. Well, there it is in summary. Pray for us. For we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, to pray for us. Why? That I may be restored to you the sooner. God instructs all believers to pray for those who are in spiritual leadership. I don't have time to read them here tonight, but I gave you several passages in your notes and other places and other epistles where Paul told believers, pray for us. Pray for us in spiritual leadership. Pray for us. And there are a couple of things in these two verses that the Word of God tells us specifically how we should pray for people in spiritual leadership. And the first way we should pray for those in spiritual leadership is we should pray for their spiritual well-being. Pray for their spiritual well-being. And verse 18 says, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. The spiritual leader, what the Bible's telling us there, is that the spiritual leader must have the confidence that he holds a genuine conscience before God and before man. That's what he says there in verse number 18. We trust, we have confidence that we possess a good conscience, all right? And a spiritual leader has got to live in a place where he is not putting on a facade, all right? He's not perfect. He's willing to own up to his mistakes, but he's not living with a facade. He's willing to live honestly with a good conscience before God and before man, and he must be determined to conduct his life with sincere integrity. In all things, we're willing to live honestly. We want to be genuine. We want to be real. We want to walk honestly before you. That's the responsibility of the spiritual leader. And so before a pastor can preach or teach or lead in any capacity, he must first be sure that his heart is where it needs to be. That's why in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28, the Apostle Paul told the pastors of the churches in Ephesus, hey, take heed to yourself and then to your flock. It starts with you. If you're not right, if you're not where you need to be, woe be to you if you try to declare the message to the people. And by the way, this is one of the reasons why I'm saying you need to pray for the people who are spiritual leaders in your life. You need to pray for their spiritual well-being. I cannot be anything for anybody else if I'm not where I need to be with the Lord. I have no capacity to spiritually lead someone else if I don't have any spiritual fuel in my own tank. If I'm running on zero, if I'm running on E spiritually, I've got nothing to give, and anything I do give is carnal, and it's going to do no good. And that's true for any spiritual leader. That's why you need to pray for the spiritual well-being of the leaders in your life. I've told you this before. Three out of the five men who I've called pastor in my lifetime have fallen into sin and fallen out of the ministry. And it convicted my heart because I can't ever say that I really, and I know it was young when a lot of these men were my pastors, I can't really say I ever prayed for their spiritual well-being. I can't even say I ever prayed for God to protect them from temptation, for God to give them what they needed in their walk with God on a daily basis. Listen to me. I pray for you. I pray for every one of you. And I'm not sitting up here saying that and not doing it. I'm just asking you, will you pray for me? Because I need it too. And I know many of you do. But we need to strengthen each other in that way. And so pray for their spiritual well-being. And then the Bible also says, it indicates to us in verse 19, we need to pray for their specific burdens as well. Pray for their specific burdens. In verse 19, Paul said, but I beseech you, I'm begging you, I'm entreating you, would you all the more do this? Would you pray for me, pray for us, that I may be restored to you the sooner? This is a specific burden on Paul's heart. He wanted to be able to come back to them. He wanted God to open that door of opportunity. This is something those believers knew. And Paul said, would you please pray? Would you pray that God would answer this prayer? He's giving a specific burden that was on his heart. And you ought to listen for how you can pray for those who lead you spiritually. That's why I like our small groups. It's time for us to really share what's going on in our lives. That's why I like our prayer breakfast. Really, for me, that's my small group. We get together and I'm able to talk to the men and tell them, hey, here's what's going on. Hey, guys, can you pray for me about this? Because I don't know what to do with this. And if you guys have any advice, our men that go to prayer breakfast, they know. We have conversations like that. They're able to share specific burdens. And throughout the years, people have asked me, what can we pray for you about? And I always say the same thing. Pray for me for God's power, for God's enabling to preach, for protection, for purity, for provision, for His wisdom, and that God will give me the vision for what He wants for His church. As a pastor, those are the things I covet your prayers for more than anything else. There are also specific burdens. You know, I've got a burden on my heart. We need an assistant pastor in this church. And the more our church has grown, the more that burden has grown, because I just can't keep up with the spiritual shepherding of this body. And I feel like some days I'm really good for our teenagers and I'm really bad for everybody else. And when I try to focus on everybody else, I'm not there for the teenagers like I should be. And it's a battle. And so many of you are stepping in and helping, and I appreciate that. But really, the burden has grown. And I'm just sharing with you a particular burden here tonight, all right? I'm practicing what I'm preaching. But pray for the people who are in spiritual leadership. And so, number one, remember them, acknowledge their leadership. Number two, submit to them, let them speak into your life. Number three, pray for them. And I'll do these last ones real quickly. I don't want to be too far over time here tonight. But number four, endure them. I like this one. All right? You can put in there, put up with them, okay? If you want to get real with it. Paul, he expresses a prayer that's beautiful here, verse 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Spiritual growth, we find in Paul's prayer here, it comes through no other source than the finished work of Jesus Christ. God of peace, the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. You know, the Bible here is talking about, it's really a summary of everything we've learned in the book of Hebrews. Because Christ has finished the work of your salvation, now His Spirit lives inside of you, and He can bring you to full spiritual maturity. It's a beautiful thing. And the Bible tells us in 2 Peter 3:18 that we're to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And so spiritual growth comes by the grace of God, and this growth comes from the Lord and not from any other source. And that is so important. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, He that has begun a good work in you will continue to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, your spiritual growth is not supposed to come from your pastor or your spiritual leader. If you are only growing in accordance to what you're hearing from the pulpit ministry on Sundays, you're being starved to death, to put it frankly. And you're being bottle fed. You're still a baby. All right? Now, if that's where you're at, I'm glad you're here. Okay? But if you've been there, you've been on the bottle for 30 years, there's a problem. Okay? And we talked about this earlier in Hebrews. Your spiritual growth isn't supposed to come exclusively from your attachment to a spiritual leader. It's supposed to come from the Spirit of God working through the Word of God to bring about growth in your life. That's how it's supposed to come. And so to this end, Paul makes this request in verse 22. He says, "And I beseech you, brethren," read the next words out loud with me, "suffer the word of exhortation." Suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in a few words. Now here's a caveat. I like Paul because he writes one of the longest epistles, and then he says, it's a few words. He writes like I preach, okay? I'm just aspiring to be like the Apostle Paul. But anyways, he says, suffer the word of exhortation. The word suffer there, it means to hold up, or to endure something, to hold something up. And so Paul instructs these believers to hold up, hey, hold up the declaration of God's word. Is there anything more important than the teaching and preaching of God's word? I don't believe so for the church. And he says, listen, I've written to you a few words, but everything that I've written to you, you're going to need your spiritual leader to dig in. You're going to need to dig in and study it. And it's going to need to be expounded further. Hey, we spent 3 years in Hebrews, okay? And we're not even scratching the surface on this book. All right? There's so much in this book. And the Bible says, suffer the word of exhortation. But before he said suffer the word, he reminded the believers, your spiritual growth comes through the Spirit of God, working through the Word of God, not exclusively from an imperfect spiritual leader. Your spiritual leaders will come and go throughout your lifetime. All right? There's no man who's always going to be around. Some of you have had pastors come and go, and some for good reasons and some for bad reasons. The spiritual leaders will come and go, but your spiritual growth, if it's connected to the Spirit of God, using the Word of God to bring you to a place of spiritual maturity, doesn't matter who the spiritual leader is that God puts in your life, you can still be growing. That's why the Bible says, suffer the word. And it's interesting to me that God has chosen imperfect people to communicate an infallible word. But I'm thankful for it. I'm also thankful the growth doesn't come because of the ability or the charisma or anything that has to do with the spiritual leader. It comes from God. God's Spirit working through imperfect people to bring about his perfecting work, his maturing work. And so endure them, put up with them. The pastor will not always practice what he preaches. I can definitely testify to that, all right? The pastor's kids will not always be perfect. I can definitely testify to that. And I don't think that any of you in this room have that expectation. Our church has been so good to us in the 7 years we've been here, but endure them. Number five, care for them. Verse 23, know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom if he comes shortly, I will see you. Why in the world did Paul put this in here? I mean, I read this and I'm like, hey, Timothy got set free. Well, why did he put it in here? You know why he put it in there? Because he knew they'd want to know. You know why they wanted to know? Because they cared. I talk to our missionaries sometimes and you know, I'll talk on the phone. It doesn't happen every time. I'm not as good about this as I should be. But a lot of times when I'm talking on the phone, I'll ask him, hey, you wrote about such and such in your prayer letter, and how's that going? A lot of times they'll be like, man, you're the first person who actually read my letter. You know what? That means the world to them. You know why? Somebody cared. When it comes to people who are a spiritual leadership in your life, one way you can encourage them and one way you should relate to them is to care for them, to care about their spiritual well-being. And we see that care expressed here. Spiritual leadership can be very lonely. Let me explain it for just a minute here. A lot of days, my wife knows this. Are you in here, Emily? There you are. Her kids are there, so there you are. My wife knows this. I'll come home and I'll tell her that day felt like it was the meeting that would never end. And I can kid around with my wife. She's my wife. Now, don't get offended if I'm having meetings with you. I'm okay. Be careful what I say. But I love it. But sometimes it feels like I was just sitting on my rear end all day, people asking questions. I'm opening my Bible, answering those questions and trying to help. And I love it. And I would not trade it for anything. But it's exhausting. Okay? And then you come home and you're like, I need to study for Sunday, but there's nothing more in the tank. There's nothing more there, okay? And it can be very lonely. And then you have a lot of people who come to you with all of their problems. And there's been some days people have been talking to me, and I'm sitting there thinking, can I talk to you? Okay? And sometimes you don't know who to call. I do have so many of you that I have been able to come and sit down and talk to, I could talk a while about that. So I'm not complaining, but I'm just saying that in spiritual leadership, it can be very lonely sometimes with some of those things. And so that's why it's a blessing to know someone cares. All right. someone who comes not with a priority, not with an agenda, to just say, how are you doing? Well, you mean that? Yeah. The same token, that's true for everybody. If we're being honest, that's true for everybody. We've all got stuff we're carrying. But I think that's expressed here in the text. And then the final thing here, I've got to finish up, is a way you can relate to spiritual leaders is to greet them. Greet them. Verse 24, salute all them that have the rule over you and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. That word, salute, it means to greet, essentially. And so, Paul, here writing to these believers, he was asking them to be friendly with their spiritual leaders, right? To have a connection with them, a daily, weekly connection with them. I had one person put it to me this way one time. I thought it was pretty good. You need to be on speaking terms with the people who are in spiritual leadership in your life. A lot of times we avoid authority when something's not going the way it should be going in our life. Right? Kids do this to their parents. Our students do this in our school. And some people can hide their emotions very well. Some of you cannot. All right, you try, but I can see you are not doing well. And by the way, when I do see that, I just pray for you. But, you know, the Bible says you're supposed to greet them. And you ought to be able to have a relationship to the people who are spiritual authorities in your life, whether it be a small group leader or a pastor or whoever it may be. And so just keep that in mind. Greet them. That's a significant thing for us to understand there. And so these are biblical instructions that are given, again, with the point of helping you grow to spiritual maturity in your life. When you allow spiritual leadership to lead in your life, it helps you grow, and it helps them grow. And the beautiful thing about it is, as Paul said back in chapter 5, for the time being, when you ought to be teachers, you're having need that someone come and teach you again those elementary principles. That wouldn't have been happening if they had been allowing spiritual leadership to lead in their life. When you allow spiritual leadership to lead in your life, you grow. And the end result is you become a spiritual leader. And that's the goal that every one of us should be aspiring for. We need more teachers. We need more people to mentor and pour into these new people who have been coming to our church. And I'm telling you, we have a lot of new people coming to our church right now. And we need to grow in our capacity of spiritual leadership. It starts, you can't be a leader, you can't be a good leader until you learn how to follow. Right? I'm not interested in people coming in and saying, well, I'm ready to lead. No, you get on board and you start following. And you get involved somewhere, and you prove yourself. In every area of spiritual leadership, pastor, deacon, any spiritual leader, it always says let them first be proved. You get in, you serve, and you start growing. And the day will come when God sees fit. He's the one that's sovereign in this matter to put you in spiritual leadership. The day will come. But the Bible gives us some spiritual instructions here on how to relate to spiritual leaders. And it's profitable for you if you heed them. It'll be unprofitable for you if you don't. And so let's learn from that here tonight. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes together. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. And listen, church, I hope that the truth has been communicated with a good spirit here tonight. And you have been so good to me as a pastor. And I have no complaints. But to the extent